This morning we are going to be in John chapter 20, two very short verses. With Easter coming up next month, we know that those passages, those sermons are generally going to be about that Easter sunrise service and that type of a message. And so I wasn't thinking or planning this as I went into this past couple weeks that this would be the passage. I was just doing some reading one day and I come across these two verses. And it kind of hit me in a strange way in what we sometimes think. And so I know I probably don't preach like a lot of preachers preach, and maybe that's a good thing, maybe that's a bad thing, I don't know. But this is a different type of sermon than I normally preach, probably. Or at least it studied that way. Now, it may not turn out that way. Who knows what it's going to turn out to be. But anyway, we are going to look at these two short verses at the end of the Gospel of John. There's another chapter after, but this is where he kind of concludes everything with these two verses. And so we're going to read these two verses and see what God has for us out of his word this morning. So let's start in verse 30 of John chapter 20. "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." Let's pray. God, as we open Your Word, as we look at these verses, Lord, I pray that You would speak to each individual in this place. Lord, I don't know where they're at. Spiritually, they don't know where I'm at. But Lord, we all stand bare before You. Lord, I pray that today You take Your Word and You pierce it into our hearts and You help us to understand what it is You need us to know. Not for You, because You don't need us, but we need to be more of what You want us to be. We need to love You more. We need to honor You more, Lord, and we can't do that without You. So, Father, I pray right now that Your Spirit would move in this place in a way that would just truly catch us off guard, that we would surrender to You in every way. We thank You and we praise You in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Like I said, these are two short verses that there's not a miracle talked about. There's not a teaching talked about. There's none of that normal stuff that you find in the meat of a sermon. But this is John, one of the disciple whom Jesus loved, as he's sharing his the end of his book, the Gospel of John. As he's sharing that, he wraps up everything that he says that you need to know. But in the way he wrote it, it's technically not all in there, but yeah, it is in there. And so as we look at this, there's a couple things I want to point out first. I almost jumped to the end, verse 31 being maybe the meat of this message. But then I looked at verse 30 a little deeper, and it says, "Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples." Now, there are scholars that believe what he's talking about here is the book of John. He's saying that Jesus did many other signs besides what's written in this whole book. But most theologians believe, because of the terminology and the wording and the way it's presented in the Greek, that when he says many other signs in the presence of his disciples, he's talking about that time after his resurrection. What signs he did after his resurrection, there were many other signs that are not written in this book. John did not write them down. And as I stopped and I thought about that this week, I just sat there at my desk and I thought, wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be amazing if John or the disciples would have written down every miraculous sign that Jesus did after he was resurrected? Think about that. The ones that we know about, they are gifts because we get to hear about them. And he'll tell another one in chapter 21. But just to know that, as John says, not everything that Jesus did, not all the miraculous signs and wonders that he did were written down. And I'm thinking, why not? I mean, the Spirit brought all this back to John so that John would write this down. The Spirit could have very easily brought everything back to John, that he could have wrote down every single miracle, every miraculous sign that Jesus did, and surely that would have been better for us. We would have had more information. We would have had more testimonies. We would have seen more miracles, heard of more things that Jesus done before he ascended into heaven, and surely that would be much more beneficial for us. But then I began to think, wouldn't it have been amazing if your grandparents would have written down everything that God did in their life in a journal and passed it on to you, to where you could see every time God moved in their life, every time God did some type of miraculous wonder in their lives or just came along and supported them, and any way God moved in their life, if they had written that down in a journal and passed it on to us, would that not have been amazing? And then as I thought about that, I switched from my grandparents to my grandson. And I'm thinking, I'm not keeping track of everything God does for me to share with him. And if I know that that would be beneficial for me, if Jesus would have had John write down all of these things, all of these signs and wonders, so that people could know, people could understand, and people could see how God moved, wouldn't that have been beneficial? As I think of that, I'm shamed because I don't testify on a daily basis of all the things God does in my life. And you don't either. So think about what, as John says this, many other signs were done in the presence of the disciples that weren't written in this book. Only the disciples got to see it. And nobody wrote it down. What has he done in your life that you've never passed on, that nobody else is ever going to know about? I know I feel like I missed out on those signs. And there was a reason, but I feel like I missed out. Can you imagine if one of your friends come up to you and said, I feel like I'm missing out on what God's doing in your life because you never tell me. You never share with me the things that God does in your life. Not everything was written down. And today, not everything is passed on. We don't pass it on like we should. And you know, we can go back to the Old Testament, and many times one generation would not pass it on, and so when that judge died, they would go right back to serving their own hearts until God brought a judge back in to turn them back to Him. And then when they did, they were fine until that generation died out. And then when that generation died out, the next generation went back to what they wanted to do. What's the next generation going to do if you and I don't pass it on? We can't blame it on them. I can remember when I was growing up, I would hear adults say, well, you know, this new generation, they're going downhill. Whose fault was that? And there may be people today that say, well, this new generation, they're going downhill. Well, whose fault is that? If we don't pass on, if we don't write down, if we don't share what God is doing in our lives, people are going to miss out. We could stop right there and know that every one of us has something to change in our life because we are called to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And not just the gospel, not just the cross. Yes, that's what we're supposed to share. But we're also supposed to share our relationship with God. We love Him and we're supposed to love others. And if I love others, then I'm going to want them to love Him. That's part of it, is we are to share that. And it's never passed down. Because surely somebody else will pass it down. Somebody else will pass it on. John never said anything about, well, I'm not going to write it down here in my book because maybe Matthew will write it down in his. Or maybe Mark should write it down. Or Luke's a doctor. He's really technical. He'll surely write down everything. It's not that way. He just says there was many things that Jesus did that were never written down. So we don't even know what they were. There's many things in your life and in my life that people will never know about because we don't share them. And that's a shame because there are people out there that need to know them. They need to know that God is real, alive, and moving in your life. And if He is, you better share it. Well, that was enough in part of a verse that shouldn't even have been there, right? Is that what you're thinking? But he goes on to say, after those other signs that weren't written down in this book, he makes a comment starting in verse 31. But these are written. Something was written down. There was a lot that wasn't, but there was some that were. These things are written down. What are these things? And again, I believe that it's talking about the things that were written down in John's gospel as he's talking about these things were written down. I think he's talking about the things that were written down after the resurrection. And you prove me wrong, I'm okay with it. But I think as we focus today, I think this is where the gospel of John leads us as he's wrapping this up. He says, these things were written. What was written? We can go back just since the resurrection. It talks about the empty tomb. He rose from the dead. And Mary sees him. And he tells Mary not to cling on to me. Don't try to keep me as a human. I'm going to the Father. I'm going to ascend to heaven. So he says, he was risen. John says he was risen. John says he's going to ascend into heaven. He was seen by the apostles. At one point, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us he was seen by over 500 people at one point. But here it says that the disciples, he came and he commissioned them to go and do what he's sending them to do. So they were seeing. And then Thomas wasn't there. And he tells Thomas, he says, you believe because you've seen, but there are others that are going to be blessed because they don't see. So what is he telling us? What are the things that are written down? That tomb's empty. He's going to ascend back to the Father. He would be seen personally by them. And if you believe in Him, you'll be blessed. That's the things that He wrote down. Of all the things that we don't know anything about that weren't written down, it's obvious that these four were very important. Because if Jesus Christ, if that tomb was not empty, then we're no different than anybody else. Our religion's no different than Buddha because he's still there. Muhammad's still there. All their bones are still there. But Jesus is not. He rose from the grave. That tomb was empty. When he told Mary that he was going to ascend to the Father, he said to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. He said, I'm not only risen from the dead, but I'm going back to the Father. That's important. Because it tells us in other scripture that he is there interceding for us. And he's not bargaining because of what you did or because of what you didn't do or what I did or what I didn't do. Because nothing you and I could ever do would make a difference. He's just standing there for us. And so anytime I fall, I fail, I falter, he is in my place. Says that he would be seen by them. Why is that so important? I understand the empty tomb is important. I understand the ascending to the Father is important. But why is it important that he was seen by the disciples? Because as the New Testament times went on and persecution broke out, if they had been lying about their story, would they have went to death? They said, we saw him. Oh, I don't think you really did. I'm going to put you up on a cross and you'll tell me that you didn't so you can get down. They said, no, you nail me to the cross. You even nail me to the cross upside down because what I saw was what I saw. He came back to life. And they needed to know that. We need to know that. And then this last part where he talked to Thomas. Why was this recorded? I used to wonder because Thomas was my middle name, and I was caught between Stephen, who was this great man of faith in Acts, and Thomas, who was this doubter of Jesus being risen. And I was caught in the middle, and I probably leaned more towards the doubting Thomas than I did the faithful Stephen. But the bottom line was, why did he write that in there? Why did we need to know that Thomas doubted this? Jesus had already showed himself to disciples 8 days earlier. And now he comes again and Thomas is there and he shows himself to him. He says, put your hands in my hands and your hand in my side to prove who I am. Why did we give Thomas that doubting Thomas name? Why was that so important to be added in John's gospel? Because of what Jesus said next. You believe because you've seen. But blessed are those who believe and haven't seen. That's faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith in Jesus Christ, we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. By grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ. Thomas had to see. And then he claimed, my Lord and my God. And there are a lot of people out there today say, you prove to me this. You show me this. You prove that. Can you prove that God is this? Can you prove that He did that? Faith is the evidence of things unseen. It's trusting and living and believing in God. And He says, you're blessed if you believe. Now, as these are the four things I believe that John is talking about where he says, but these things were written. He goes on to say, these things are written that you may believe. How many of you were ever in school, and this may just be me and my terrible grammar, but you would like raise your hand, can I do this? And the teacher would just look at you. Say, can you? May I do this. Anybody else, or is that just me? Come on, sure. Okay, I was going to say, there's got to be at least a few. I mean, I realize my grammar is not the best, but I can remember hearing other people say the same thing. Hey, can I go to the bathroom? Can I do this? Can I do that? I said, well, I'm sure you can, but may you is the way you're supposed to say this. And I love that in this scripture because he said, these things are written that you may believe. You have been given permission to believe. Well, surely we all would, right? You've been given permission to do something that is amazing. It's to believe in Jesus. But how many people out there today that go to church, or maybe they don't go to church, and they have the opportunity to believe in Jesus? God has said, you may believe in Jesus and what He's done. I'm giving you the opportunity to believe in Him. No, I don't think I want to. Nobody's going to say that. Oh, I believe God's out there. I just don't want Him in my life. I believe all the things in the Bible. I read the Bible. I understand. I believe it. Surely that's all this is talking about. These things are written so that you can believe. Well, the devil believes and trembles, and it does him absolutely no good. He's still headed for a devil's hell. And he believes in God. So we can't stop there. But we've been given the permission to believe. These were written that you may believe. And in that phrase, in that understanding of the way it's written, that means that's enough. That is enough for you to believe. There shouldn't be anything else that you need to know that Jesus rose from the dead, to know that He ascended to the Father, to know that people witnessed Him, to know that all you have to do is believe. That's enough. Well, surely there's got to be more than this. Every other religion in the world says you've got to do something. You've got to work at it somehow. You've got to present something. You've got to live a certain way. You've got to do a certain thing. You have to do something. Christianity is the only one that you do not get salvation by works. Your salvation will produce works, but you can't get the cart before the horse. Because believing is enough. But what is believing? And what am I believing in? Well, it says here that these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ, the long-awaited, prophesied Redeemer and Savior of the world. The whole Old Testament points to Him. The New Testament says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's all about Jesus. And so I have to believe Jesus is the Christ. There are religions out there that believe Jesus is just a God. They quote that last verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. That article is not in the Greek. He was not a God, He was God. He was a part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You take any of that out, you lose. That's where we're at. You have to believe in who Jesus Christ is. It goes on to say, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Holy Lamb of God, God in flesh, who was born of a virgin, lived a perfect sinless life, then laid down His life as a sacrifice for our sins on a Roman cross, and 3 days later rose from the grave, later to ascend into heaven. You take any of that out of there, you're lost. I have to believe those things. But again, believing is more than just knowing. And this is where I think so many in the world today, where they falter. And you've heard me say it many times, many, many times, that I don't think heaven's going to be near as populated as a lot of people think. Because there are a lot of people that believe in Jesus. But they've never truly believed in Jesus. He's never changed their life. I've seen bumper stickers before. And I'll be honest with you, I liked them until this week. Live what you believe. You know, and then I have the fish symbol beside it. You know what I'm talking about? And if you've got one of those in your car, I apologize. I don't mean anything bad. But understand what I'm going to say. When people say, live what you believe, which comes first? Living. If you believe, you will live. If you believe in Jesus Christ the way the Bible tells us to, knowing He is God, knowing He is the Redeemer, the Savior of the world, believing it in your heart so much that you will take action to step out on it. Even if I fail, I'm going to step out on my belief and my faith in Jesus Christ. That's believing. And that's where so many people are not. Because does your belief in Jesus Christ alter your everyday life? Well, I'm a good person. I know a lot of good people that go to a church across town, across the street, the next town over, that have no earthly idea who Jesus Christ really is. I was a good person before I accepted Christ. But if I'd have died then, I'd have went straight to hell. Bottom line is, believing in Jesus Christ changes who I am. Says you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing, and that believing you may have life. Man, as I read this, and even right now I'm thinking of things that I had not thought of, I hadn't written down, and I hope they stay in my mind, and I promise you they probably will not. But as he says that statement, believing that you may have life, we immediately make that go towards eternal life. Man, if I believe, I'll have eternal life. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. But my believing, that believing in Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, and believing that and understanding that, I may have life now. John 10:10 says that I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Too many of us are satisfied with just an existence to be called a Christian. That is nowhere in the Bible for you and I just to live a life that's a good, solid life because we believe in a God. He says, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. So if I'm not living an abundant life for God, then what's my problem? It's not because He didn't die for me, because He says He died that I might have an abundant life. And so if I'm satisfied just to have a normal life, am I doing justice to what He's done for me? That believing you may have life. In His name. Whose name is your life in? I could have went all day without saying that. But I thought about it this week so many times. Because my life a lot of times is in Steve's name. It might even be in the pastor's name of pastor of First Southern Baptist Church. But I'm supposed to have life in His name. My life is supposed to be for Him. Man, I just don't know if I know enough. I don't know if I'm strong enough. Well, let's put it all together. These things were written that you may believe in Jesus, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. So this is enough. What John has written down is enough for you and I to know and to live a life in Jesus' name. So if I don't, that's not on him. It's not on my wife. It's not on my church. It's on me. And it would be a tough spot for me to stop a sermon right here and say, okay, walk out of here thinking about how I browbeat you that you're not and I'm not doing the things we're supposed to do. That's not what this is about. This is about understanding that when these things were written down, they were for you and me. These were written that you may believe. You, as an individual. So many times we see ourselves and we are just one little speck in Stockton or in Missouri or in the United States. But Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. That doesn't make you a very small speck. That's how valuable you are to Him. Now, I may not be very valuable to the people around me, the people in the state, the people in the country. That really doesn't matter. I don't find my value in the people around me. I find my value in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the life we're supposed to live. And He gives us enough. John says it's enough. So I want to close with one thing here. As we read this short passage, and I'm not going to read it again, you know what it says. If not, you can read it yourself. But if you know enough to believe, then you should believe enough to share what you know. Say that again. If you know enough to believe, which we should, then you should believe enough to share what you know. There are probably people in here, maybe watching on YouTube. If you don't know, we switched over to YouTube a week or so ago. But the bottom line is there are people probably in here, probably watching, that have stopped at believing. Because they've never heard you and me talk about what God's doing in our life. Those unwritten things, those untestified things. And God's saying, share those. Share what you know. What you know is enough. God's enough. You and God makes enough. But you know what? God's enough, whether you're there or not. That's what He wants. Man, go out this week and share the basics. Share what you know. Easter's coming up. That's an opportunity that a season is kind of like Christmas that we have an opportunity to share more openly than maybe we normally do. So what I want us to go into is not just go with the attitude of, hey, this is my opportunity to share, but I want to share because of what He's done for me. I want to love Him, and by loving Him, I want to share. He's enough for strength, for power, for wisdom, for understanding. He says in His Word, all you got to do is ask for those things. But you got to start by that believing, that knowing, being a time when you surrender your life to Him. Every day, not just non-Christians, that's where they've got to start. But as a Christian, I have to surrender my life every morning because that's what He desires. And out of love for Him, that's what I should do. We're going to close with a prayer. And then as God speaks to you, He's enough. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for loving us. Lord, we thank You for Your Word that You've kept for us. You've empowered for us that we might come to know You. Lord, my heart's prayer is if there's anyone in this room that does not know You as their personal Savior, Lord, God, I pray that You would draw them to You in a way that they could not refuse. Lord, I pray for each and every Christian in this place, Lord, that we would share the testimonies of everything that You do in our lives. God, empower us. Help us to love what You love and to hate what You hate, God, that we might be everything You desire us to be. Lord Jesus, I thank You and I praise You for this day. In Your precious name I pray. Amen.